from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some really good international players, and somebody on our team, Team USA, is going to have to take that challenge of guarding somebody and shutting somebody down.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? It is your favorite duo of all time. Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, without much of a voice, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court
is in session.
Woo! We made it, Cheryl. We made it to our respective destinations after craziness of airports and weathers.
And glitches it. And
all of the
everything.
Things.
Everything.
What everything. A weekend. Oh my goodness. All-Star is just always my favorite, but one, we got to record in person for a little preview episode. If you guys missed that, go back and listen
to
it.
Super excited. I was so excited about that.
It's always fun. I felt like we just kind of hung out a lot this weekend. I don't know if that was just me. I got my dose of Cheryl for a good
I got to see you more this All-Star weekend than any other. And it was I had so much fun. And that's probably why I don't have much of a voice right now. Mm-hmm, just all, not even yelling, but just laughing a lot and enjoying being there and being around so many amazing people. But I probably yelled a couple times across the room at somebody. So maybe that's why my voice is gone. But
not always.
Wow. But what a time. You know, Jordan, so probably the last, I'm going to say 3 All-Stars have actually felt like more like NBA All-Star.
Yes.
Because in the beginning, right, like when the league first started, and it was just that, it was just a game where there was no skills competition, no 3-point contest, no like all the different parties and events and activations. It was just, it's just so different. And I think that's what excites me about All-Star Weekend is that it's actually that. It's an All-Star Weekend with so many different things going on versus just going there, playing the game, and you leave.
Yeah. It's a moment where it's we all get to come together with our cutest outfits, and we're going to different activations. We're going to different parties. Everybody is there. It's very much, you know, be seen and be on the scene, but also to celebrate the W and to celebrate not only this All-Star, but all the ones that have come before. And especially this year with the, you know, the send-off for the Olympians and Team USA. And we talked about it over and over again, and we're going to talk about the game in a second, but it was different than a normal All-Star because it was so competitive. The whole weekend was competitive, and we're going to start with Friday with the skills competition and the 3-point competition. Typically, those are a little more lighthearted, maybe a little fun, jokey, but there was some big time money on the line. And and we have to give you your props. You called it again. starting with the skills competition, Alisha Gray took home the crown. And I repeat from a previous episode, Miss Swoops, how does it feel to always
Don't do that. Listen, Alisha Gray did not come to play. Or maybe she did come to play. I mean, so my whole thing was, and if you didn't listen to the previous episode, for at least for the skills competition, for me, I feel like it's all about like speed and quickness and accuracy. You got to have that too, but the speed and quickness. And when I looked at the contestants in it, I was like, yeah, Alisha Gray. But I also thought Erica Wheeler would have had a chance had she been able to make it.
If she made it.
I mean, we do have to talk about that.
Yes, yeah. Her flight was canceled. She was stuck in Atlanta. So her teammate, Kelsey Mitchell, filled in for her while wearing Erica Wheeler's jersey, but not the same. Like, she could have, that's kind of going to be a shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like,
I know.
What would have happened if she was there? But yeah. The flights messed everybody up.
But you know, they're always going to compete. But when you have $55,000 on the line, for skills, for 3-point contests, like all the jokes and games, like they throw that to the side because everybody is going to get the bag. And Alisha Gray, like, I think I told my brother, I don't know, I told someone, I said, she just made, not that I'm like counting anybody's money, but she, I mean, it's public. It's out there, right?
It's out there.
But she made $110,000 in less than an hour.
Yeah, an hour max. Like, and her salary is $165,000.
How about that?
So that really puts it in perspective that Aflac put forth this money with the WNBPA to make it count for a little bit more.
That was nice.
You know, we talked about it, but Alisha Gray was serious when it was starting. She was focused. She was not messing around. She was going so fast. Also, the skills competition this year, I feel like it had a lot more shooting elements. Like, you had to make a top of the key three.
Yeah.
A free throw line jumper and a corner three with this contraption, like a windmill, trying to block you and distract you. So I feel like that was a little unique this year, where it's like usually dribbling and more of
passing.
Yeah. So there was shooting involved, which also leads us to her winning the 3-point competition as well.
And I did not get that one right.
Woo! I don't think I saw that coming. Like, we were talking about Marina Mabry putting her name in both opportunities. But Alisha Gray, she straight up said when asked, like, why the 3-point competition? She was like, you know, I was already here. Like, mine as well. And this really worked out for her.
Man.
Down to the wire, Cheryl. The last shot, Jonquil Jones and Alisha Gray were in the finals. JJ missed the last shot, and that would have won. Alisha Gray had the best reaction ever on the bench, on the sideline, realizing that she just won both competitions. It was
My God, how crazy is that? Speaking of, let me do this. And so, Alisha, when you hear this episode, so, you know, I was sitting like courtside. So when she came by at one point, I think they were shooting free throws. And I said, let me get alone. So she said, oh, I got you. So, Alisha, you forgot
writing.
Me. You forgot about me, boo.
Yeah, let me hold just like 10,000.
I love it. I love it for them. It's, God, that's nice. Big it's ups really to nice. Aflac. Like, it's, I love it. I love to see it.
And, you know, with the 3-point competition, who was, I think I picked Kayla McBride because this was her third time.
I think both of us picked Kayla.
We both did. And this is her third time competing. And, you know, when I was watching her and Marina Mabry, I think we were also thinking Marina was going to shoot well too. The 3-point competition is different. It's not in-game 3-point shooting. And sometimes players are just better in-game three shooters. And I think Jonquil Jones really surprised me because she just had the rhythm, the cadence of the competition, of grabbing the ball and having to do the same stroke every single time. And that's how you are successful in these competitions. It's not always who has the best three-point percentage during the season, right? Like, that. That's not always the case.
And for a three-point shooting contest, that's what it's about. Like, just that rhythm and the cadence. And when you find your spot, it's just nice to be able to keep that rhythm. And that's why a lot of players who are actually good shooters don't like getting in shooting competitions like that.
Yeah.
Which is really weird when you think about it, but...
It's different. Like, I think of Stephanie Dolson because she, you know, this was her first time and she finished with, like, I think it was 12 seconds left on the clock. Like, she just went so fast. And you don't know that rhythm, that cadence. Right. So she was just letting them rip.
Because you want to get through all of the racks.
It's the time. It's the spotlight. It's the crowd. It is nerve-wracking, but Alicia Gray stayed calm, cool, collected. We learned that her goggles weren't actually prescription. They're just for style and protection.
I don't know about which one I like best, knowing that they're not prescription or thinking that they were.
I know. I kind of liked that I thought that they were prescription. Like, oh, this is helping her see, but they're just
funny
cool
to me. But she was like, well, the secret's out. My goggles aren't prescription.
She's so funny, also just so country.
Oh my god, yes,
so hilarious.
Yes. Oh my god, I love it. I love it though.
Oh man, and Asia was rocking the goggles courtside too, cheering her on. So that was a fun time. I think it was a fun Friday night putting it all together. The 3x3 game was also there.
Oh, yeah.
During that time, that was the first. You know, I'm a big 3x3 fan, so it was fun to see 3x3 on that stage as well. What'd you think about that?
I thought it was fun to watch, and we knew who, you know, the WNBA players are, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it was also fun to look at and see the collegiate players who were playing. But out of all of it, I was happy to see Ryan Howard back out on the floor.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And back on the floor, looking confident, looking ready. She scored majority of the points for Team USA. And this is what I am expecting when they go to the Olympics. So I think they have a good squad. They took care of business. They showed us all why they are supposed to be in those positions. I did have those feelings of like, man, Cameron Brink should be here.
I know.
Will be here. But my heart just couldn't let it go. Oh, but it's okay. Next time, the future, she'll be there.
I was excited to see something different, right? Mm-hmm. On this for the skills competition. I know that wasn't it, but the 3x3, it was fun to see that. I don't know if I knew that was happening.
Yeah, I actually didn't know.
I didn't know.
It was a pleasant surprise.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. And then also, before we bump to break, I just want to talk about Phoenix for a second, because I think Phoenix was a great host city for the All-Star, being able to show off the new practice facility for the Mercury, just have everybody there to put eyes on it. They had a custom-built court for the All-Star game, which was never done before. And it had all the former names of everyone who was an All-Star on the court. Just like special touches, but it just felt elevated. Like you said, it felt like an NBA All-Star. They really brought it. So shout out to Phoenix.
Well, and I mean, Phoenix, the fans, they've always been some of the best in the league. And so no surprise that they showed up and showed out and did the same thing for All-Star Weekend. To me, the worst part of it was the heat.
It was very hot.
It was just miserable.
It's very hot.
Oh,
I'm not made for it. I'm not made for it. You know, it's so hot when I walked outside and I had a fan and it did nothing. Like, I was just waving hot air into my face, and it was nothing. It just felt like you walked into an oven every time you stepped outside.
Yeah. No. So let's, don't know where it'll be next year, but let's hope it's somewhere a little cooler, maybe.
Yeah, we've done back-to-back deserts. We've done Vegas. We've done Phoenix. I think we all deserve to be somewhere a little cooler. I mean, it is July, but just, I don't know, maybe by the water. Or, I don't know, somewhere with a breeze.
Seattle could be nice.
As I was walking in the heat, sweating, I was thinking of Seattle being the next place. Mm-hmm.
Seattle could be really, really nice. But for some reason, I think it's going to be Indiana.
I think so, too. I think that's a fair prediction. That's a lot of what people are saying. Indy, Seattle. I think we also would just have an opportunity to see the facilities that the Storm have built. I think they have the resources to have a really solid all-star weekend. People love Seattle and love going to those games at Climate Pledge. So, yeah, I would love Seattle. But Indy, I've never been to Indy.
I have.
Do you like it?
Jordan, I can't laugh with you today. I just can't laugh. All right, my voice won't let me. It won't let me. But Seattle, Indy,
Yeah, It's a toss-up. All right. Well, we're just making
there. Wherever it is, I'm there.
We're there. I'm there. Hopefully we can do it again. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to get to the nitty gritty. We're going to talk about the game itself in prime time. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. And it's time to break down the All-Star game. Okay, let's just put out the facts first. Team WNBA defeated Team USA 117-109. Arike Ogunbowale wins MVP, game leading, career best of any All-Star game, 34 points on 8 from 13 from 3. Just insane. And I can't wait to talk about this with you, but my first question is, did it live up to the hype for you?
Absolutely. It did. I don't know what my expectations were, but it lived up to the hype. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It was fun, it was exciting. We got to see just some talent. I know we're going to talk about Arike, rightfully so, because we should, and she probably is the only one we should be talking about. but I would also say, like, watching Kelsey Mitchell, Alicia Gray, and Arike Ogunbowale, those three guards,
yeah,
were like, I don't know, quick, fast, can just score, like they can just score the basketball. And it was so much fun to watch up close and personal.
Up close, yes. Let's set the record straight. You're sitting courtside.
Oh, I didn't say it for that reason.
Well, I'm going to set the record straight. I have the bird's eye view from way, way up.
You were on, still the, look on the good.
Court. On the court, looking, being able to see it very up close and personal. So you got a real front row seat.
Jordan, I mean, some of the fadeaway falling out of bounds at the buzzer, like Kelsey Mitchell hit. And Arike, every time she shoots it, though, I'm like, that's good. Because it just looks like it is. And it wasn't until, honestly, I just read these notes where it said she had 0 points in the first half and ended up with 34.
All caps. 0 points in the first half. I was sitting in media seating and they're handing out the stats every quarter. They give you a printout. And at halftime, I followed with my finger Arike's name all the way over to zero. Yeah. And I just said, oh, okay, you know, she's just not going for it this year. Like, I was okay with it. I'm like, you know, she won MVP the last time they played Team USA, maybe she's just not going for it.
Wow.
Yeah. She had, I think it was 12 points in the first, like, 5 minutes of the third quarter. And she said after, you know, in an interview that she just took a deep breath. Cheryl Miller, the coach for Team WNBA, just said, inhale, exhale. And that was a result of 34 points. Wow. So I'm going to start doing some more deep breathing. Maybe I'll drop
it
30 feet.
It was so pretty. It was so pretty. And then she was just laughing. Like, she was having a good time. But the laugh to me was like, this is just so easy. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I do.
Just what she does. And I also think, you know, we talk about living up to the hype. Team WNBA, it was still their all-star game. Like, I think that's what it proved to me. It was still their all-star game. So they were having fun. They were doing, you know, a little more trick plays a little bit. Like, it was more on Team USA, the expectation-wise, to win this game.
For sure.
So Team WNBA was playing a little more loose. And I think Arike's circus shots off one leg, I mean, it was just her night, but it was very much their all-star game. So they were just playing a little more free.
Well, absolutely. I think for Team USA, they were focused more on running like their stuff. Because let's not forget, they're preparing for the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to figure out, like Coach Reeve is trying to figure out combinations, what works, what doesn't work. And they're working on sets. Two observations from me for Team USA. Mm-hmm. I don't know how healthy Chelsea Gray and Nafisa Collier are.
Because of their limited minutes.
Not that, but also when they were in there, they weren't in there for long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I don't know. So I have question marks beside both of their names.
Okay.
Right? Like, how healthy are they? Second observation. Defensively, mm-hmm. especially on the perimeter, we, meaning Team USA, we got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I don't think they're going to run up against the Arike Ogunbowale type perimeter players, right? Yeah. But I will say, once they get to the medal rounds, there are some really good international players. And somebody on our team, Team USA, is going to have to take that challenge of guarding somebody and shutting somebody down.
I think that's a great point. Because even if you aren't going to run into an Arike specifically, in a lot of these games in the Olympics, sometimes it is one player that's going to kill you. Like, there usually is just like a superstar on that team. And I think this showed, okay, who is going to be that person to say, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
You're not going to drop 30 on me anymore. And they... Again, Arike was just out of this world, but Ka tried to stop her, tried to slow her down, couldn't do it. Then it was Jackie Young, tried to stop her down, couldn't do it. Kelsey Plum. They put them through the rotation, but nobody was able to kind of stop her. And I think that has happened before where someone's just like, all right, Team USA, I'm about to have the best game of my life against you because I also know that this is the stage that I'm going to be able to be noticed if I play well against Team USA. And so you're going to have to shut that down so that you got to make somebody else beat you when it comes to a medal round type of deal. So I think that's
100%. 100%. Yeah. But in saying that, let me also just remind the people who might be saying, since 2 years in a row, W All-Stars beat Team USA. Well, even when it happened last time, Team USA went on to win the gold medal. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get too excited thinking that we don't have the right team, right?
Right.
Because without a doubt, we're sending some of the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried. I'm not questioning. Are we good enough? Do we have the right pieces? Without a doubt, they're going to go over and take care of business. Those were just a couple of I can't talk today, of observations I saw that I'm like, okay, they really got to work on this. And the bad part is they don't have practice time.
They don't have a lot of time. They really don't. I mean, we're recording this on Monday, July 22nd. They played on Saturday and they were on an overnight flight to London. Yep. They have the USA basketball showcase in London on July 23rd against Germany. So that's Tuesday. And then it starts like July 29th. They go against Japan and we are off to the races. So Team WNBA definitely took it as we are getting our sisters prepared and we're not going to go easy on them because we wanted them to feel prepared. But to your point about sending the right team, I want to toss to some sound because Arike was after that performance, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, how come she's not on Team USA? Like, how did they not put her on the team? And we have to remember that she withdrew her name, but she actually had an interview with SportsCenter where she gave a little more detail. So here's that sound.
Said in June that you took yourself out of consideration for the Olympic team months ago. Your brother, Dare Ogunbowale, he tweeted during the game, quote, an all-time Team USA snow. I see you laughing right there. What went into your decision for you not to be involved in that selection process?
Yeah, I mean, I was involved in it, you know, the whole years leading up to it. You know, I went to camps and stuff, and just as a player, and just I know myself and I know what I see, and I just wasn't feeling like they really wanted me on that team. So, you know, I just removed myself because it is a process to, you know, keeping your name in the pool and, you know, having to go to these things. So if I already knew and felt that I wasn't going to be on the team, I just removed myself from that.
And you laughed a little bit when I talked about your brother, Dare, tweeting that out. You know, what did you think when you saw him tweet that?
I didn't tell him to say that.
I'm 100% sure you didn't tell him to say it, but I mean, it's your brother, so you know he's going to go out there and defend you. You also mentioned that there's a little bit of politics involved in the selection process and really politics involved in anything and any sport that anyone is out there playing. But what are those figurative red tapes or hurdles that made you say, maybe it's not worth the trouble?
I think, like, when I said politics, I was just referring to, like, just sports in general. Like, and it's not even just women's basketball. I see it, you know, all across professional sports. And, you know, there are some great players that aren't on teams. There's some players that aren't that good that are on teams. And I'm just not just specifically talking about USA basketball. So when I said politics, I'm just speaking in general. Just I've obviously been involved in basketball my whole life. And, you know, I've been a part of some things that had political, whether it was college, you know, WNBA. So I kind of just said it like that. So there were flags, there were, you know, things that I just felt, but at the end of the day, you know, they choose who they want to choose and that has nothing to do with me. And I'm very confident and comfortable in myself and my skills. So, you know, whether I'm on the team or not on the team, I'm still blessed to play the game. You know, God has blessed me with my abilities. And I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
What's your reaction to that? I thought that was a great little snippet to put in context what's been going on?
Well, I don't disagree with her.
Right. Like, I don't either.
I know she said she's speaking in general, right? Just about in sports, but I think we know what she was really talking about. To me, there's no question that she deserves to be on the team. But you and I had this conversation before. I do think she is one of the players that deserve to be on the team. But then you go back to the whole, well, she's on the team, then who you take off. So I don't want to get into that. But it's interesting. And that's what brothers and sisters and family is supposed to do.
For sure.
They're supposed to do that. That's and so listen, let's just be very real. Let's just keep it real. Without a doubt, I know she had 0 points in the first half to finish with 34 points all in the second half. Like, I don't want to say she was trying to prove something because she even said she knows her game. She knows who she is. Mm-hmm. She knows that she deserved to be on the team. Mm-hmm. But to say, you know, when you've been around it and you've been doing it, you get a feeling or you get a sense of, you know what, I don't care what I do, how good I play, how much I show that I'm better than her or her or her, I'm just not going to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that. Right. So you get to a point where you're like, I just don't want to deal with the politics of it. So I'm just going to remove myself from the situation. And I think that's what Arike did. She was like, listen, I went to training camp. I did it. Yeah. Showed that I deserve it. But I know, like, right now, I am not going to be on this team. So let me just remove myself and go focus on something else. Like, I'm not mad at her. Like,
I'm not either.
For me.
Protect your peace.
And mad respect. Because a lot of people wouldn't have done that.
Mm-mm. It's a little bit of like, I'm going to break up with you before you can break up with me type of deal.
That's exactly
like,
what it is.
I'm at peace with this, so I'm going to remove myself. And I love the part that she said at the end. Whether I have a USA jersey or not, I know how great I am and how good I am. And
no doubt.
That confidence is so important because sometimes with accolades and All-star MVPs and all-star, you know, awards and Olympic roster. Sometimes it feels like you need that validation in order to solidify yourself as one of the best hoopers in the world. And I think that what I always say about Arike is she is your favorite hooper's favorite hooper.
She like, is.
That is the type of scorer that she is. And so it's always nice, just as a human, just as a woman, to just hear her say like, yeah, all of that is nice, but I know what I can do. I know what I bring to the table. I know who I am.
Remember how Asia, last year, Asia Wilson, remember when she said, I don't need a stat sheet to validate who I am in this league?
Yes.
That's like Arike saying, I don't need a USA jersey or to play on the USA team to validate my greatness. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. And like, so like, shout out to her.
Yeah.
But
she's doing
I'd love, her, I'd love to see her on one of those
things. And she sure
for selfish ain't reasons. Forget it. For selfish reasons. That's just me.
She sure ain't let you forget it. I don't think it's a coincidence that these two MVPs have come against Team USA. So she's going to make sure that you know and that she, you know, walked away as the biggest storyline from this All-Star weekend. But just to go back real quick to the Olympic roster, I'm right there with you. I don't feel like we should be worrying about Breanna Stewart, who had a quiet 31 points, 10 rebounds, if you can even have a quiet 31.
But it was quiet.
I know. She did some work. Asia Wilson is putting in work. They show that they are really the two anchors of the squad. Yeah. I think they're going to be fine. And I think the All-Star game showed to me anyway that the future Olympians are also going to be exciting. Like Caitlin Clark having 10 assists in an All-Star game and Angel Reese having a double-double.
That in the right there game. Is insane.
What? Like,
who does
who
that?
Who does that?
In an All-Star game. She does. She
does. The connection between Caitlin and Angel was perfect.
It was fun to watch.
So
you said Stewie had a quiet, 31 and 10?
Yes, yes.
Angel had a quiet double-double.
I know.
I didn't realize that until after the game. I was like, what? A double-double in an All-Star game?
Her offensive rebounding was on full display, even against all of the best players and all the best rebounders. And it's like she has a magnet underneath her skin in her palm. Like she just has a magnet for the ball and just goes after it and grabs it. So seeing that on the biggest stage as well, it definitely lived up to the hype. Like everybody was where they were supposed to be and they performed in front of a sold out over 17,000 people in that arena. It was a great time. It was a great time. No notes.
I don't know. Like how do we top next year?
Do you have thoughts on Pitbull?
And I don't mean just on the court. I mean, off the court, my thoughts on Pitbull. No, none. I question why him. That was No.
You weren't alone.
That was the one kind of miss for me.
Okay. I think in retrospect, I was like, yeah, Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. But then I was like, you know, there could have been some other options that we could have ran with here.
Yes,
like, this would have been great in like 2013? This would have killed to have Pitbull at that time.
The players today are probably like, who is that? Yeah, I don't know. That one didn't excite me.
All right, maybe we have one note.
No.
Maybe not Pitbull. But okay.
But I will ask you this before we get to our flower segment though. I don't know why I can't talk today. What was your favorite part of All-Star Weekend?
Oh. My favorite part of All-Star Weekend, the games were great. Three-point competition was amazing. Even though I was nervous without a Caitlin Clark, Sabrina, it still was a lot of fun. My favorite part of All-Star Weekend was finally being able to put to rest that I showed up for the Swoops Soiree brunch.
You're funny.
But I was the MC and I was able to just give you your flowers.
Oh my gosh.
And put the event was beautiful. It was so well done. It had a personal connection to it with you, Cheryl. People showed up for you and rallied behind you. And it was a blast. And I was so happy to be there. And that was my favorite part.
I was happy you were there. And that's not why I asked you that.
I know. You didn't even know I was going to go there.
No, I didn't. But I, for a lot of reasons, there were so many different events. But that was my favorite thing about All-Star Weekend was bringing together not just former players, but, you know, women in the media in that space, but also being able to give free mammograms to everyone that wanted them who attended. So, because that's pretty special to me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed All-Star Weekend.
It was great. People were DMing me in my comments, like, did you go to Cheryl's brunch? Were you there? Like, you have a small army behind you making sure that I showed up, and I did.
But you know what, Jordan? I never doubted I never doubted that you would be a great, like, MC.
It was
even better than I thought it would be. And it was so great to have you there and for you and I to be in the same space together. And you held it down. You just did what you do. So good.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was
me giving you your flowers before we get to our flower segment.
I'll take them. But when we take a quick break, we're going to come back and we're going to have some more flowers. We'll be right back. Welcome back. And it is time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. My favorite segment because...
Mine too.
I just feel like All-Star Weekend was a lot about giving flowers. And so, Cheryl, why don't you kick us off? Who do you want to give some flowers to?
Ooh, I gave you yours already.
Thank you. I accept.
There are a lot of people that I want to give flowers to, but I'm going to give flowers to all of those who not only attended and showed up for All-Star, but they show up anytime we need them. And that is the stylists, makeup artists, hair. And I'm going to say particularly the three that I had this weekend because they kept me fresh. They kept me late. They kept me slayed and they showed up. So man, thank you. These are your flowers. I love you for just taking care of me this weekend. Madi, and I know everybody out there, you're getting to know her. If you don't know her, you will. But yes. Madi had me fresh every single day. The looks were looking. Mm-hmm. And Donnie did it. The makeup, it was just, you know, and not just for me, for all the players, like they keep mm-hmm. everybody looking good. And so I don't think we give them their flowers enough. We give them their credit enough. And so I am giving this to the three of you in particular, but to all of the makeup artists, beauticians, hair, stylists, just thank you.
They're behind the scenes, but they're doing a lot of work, and they're showing up for these big moments. Like, you got to look good for these big moments, and you look great. So that was an all-star team that you had with you all weekend.
And what about you? Thank you. What about you? Who are you giving flowers to?
You know, I want to give flowers to just being a sports journalist and really diving into the WNBA over, you know, the past like 5 years or so. I just want to give flowers to all of the journalists, all the media people who have a focus on the WNBA and women's basketball, who have been in the trenches, not just parachuting in. Like, you have been here covering this league for many, many years, and even from the beginning. I just love being in those media workrooms and just up with people who are telling the stories of these student athletes, because it is so important, especially now when the spotlight feels bright. Like, we need to know these players in this league. We have some really talented but funny and personable players that their stories need to be told. So content creators, digital creators, other podcasts, like, there are just a lot of people who have dedicated their work, and sometimes they're not even being paid by an outlet. Like, they are just there because they love the game, and they just brought their mic and brought their phone to record. And I left the weekend, I was sitting at the airport, very delayed, but I was very inspired. I was like, I want to go home. I want to create more content. Like, I want to look at different ways to tell stories about players. And that is how I feel every All-Star weekend. But I feel like this one was a little extra. So I just want to give all those flowers to the other media members who are in the trenches, way past the game. They're, you know, cramming out a story to make sure that they're in their outlets on time, on deadline. So yeah, just want to give their flowers to them.
And rightfully deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, all of you, because you're a big part of that. You guys have been here from day one, and you are truly invested in telling stories and making sure that the player stories are out there, and lots of times you don't get your credit. So yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot. And I will say this, because there are so many people we could give flowers to, but I do want to this one person, I'm going to say a huge thank you to Christina Williams for the Icon Dinner alongside with Corin Carter. I was pleasantly surprised and just so grateful and appreciative of everyone that showed up. I had no idea what they were doing, but Christina, you did your thing, and I am forever grateful. So thank you.
That was a blast. That was so much fun. I don't think I knew it was a surprise.
It was.
I could have ruined that.
All I knew, I'm glad you didn't. Because it was a surprise. All I knew was that I was told, oh, come to my dinner.
Oh, no. It had they had posters of you. It was to give you flowers. So that, like,
I'll come to your dinner.
Wait, that's amazing. I did not know that. But
I'm glad you didn't.
I'm glad you didn't ruin it.
Oh, wow.
But I love surprises. Ooh. And also, side note, that party, Christina, the goodie bags were so good. Cheryl, we were just talking about how the goodie bags all weekend. Luckily, just for some random reason, I packed an extra like tote bag. I would not have been able to get all of that stuff home. Like, it was incredible. I love free stuff. That's my favorite type of stuff.
And it was good free stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was stuff that when I got home, I was like, ooh, let me go through this.
Yeah, let me try this. Yeah. It's a real goodie. Put the goodie in goodie bag.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, this has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. And make sure you guys keep following, review the show. I enjoyed meeting all of you, and, you know, so many of you in person, saying how much you love the show. That will never get old, because it just reminds me that people like really listen to the show. Sometimes I just think, Cheryl, we're just chatting away, and this is our weekly, just our weekly call, like our weekly catch up. But no, people really are actually listening.
They really do.
Well, we love hearing from you. It was so great to see you all at All Star. And starting next week, we're going to start doing a mailbag. So if you have some pressing questions, and sure, I'm just going to say it could be about basketball, but it could also be about life. Yeah. If you just have some questions for us, we're going to be pulling from the mailbox. So send us an email at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
I had a lot of people come up to me and talk about the podcast. Like, you guys keep doing it. You're my favorite. So thank you, y'all. That means a lot to us. Really? And if you didn't see us and you didn't speak to us, you know, you can always find us on social media. You can find me at AirSwoops22. Let me say that again, y'all. I can't talk today.
You're doing great.
My social media is at AirSwoops22. And she, her, Jordan, you don't get along with today.
It's all right. It's
she all right. is at Hey Jordan R.
So just a quick little shoulder shrug. I get it. Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Lena Moss Glazer and the one and only Alex Ozzy.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Is adjourned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.